In 1901, a woman by the name of Annie Taylor climbed into a barrel so that she could ride that barrel over Niagara Falls, the first person to do so. The reason for her crazy endeavor? She was struggling to make ends meet, and she was hoping for fame and financial security. It's Ryan from United Faith Mortgage, a faith and family mortgage team that tries to improve your financial outlook without having to ship you over a 170-foot waterfall. Our mortgage team happens to be an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. This advantage often allows us to get you a better rate, which can save you monthly and lifelong money through a refinance, or help you with a cash-out refinance, cashing out some of your home's equity to use for life. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp., 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.
You picked a fantastic time to join us because we're going to be talking about second chances. As a follower of Jesus Christ, you know that he bestowed a second chance on you. But what about those who are incarcerated? How do they get a second chance? And joining us now is Sammy Perez. He leads Prison Fellowship's grassroots program to build and mobilize a network of Christians who are passionate about justice that restores. Can't wait to get into this conversation. Sammy, welcome to Mornings with Tom and Toby.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
We are so glad to have you. And to talk about Second Chances during Second Chance Month, which is April, how does your ministry offer second chances to those who are coming out of prison?
Yeah, so there's a number of things that Prison Fellowship does to serve individuals who have been impacted by crime and incarceration. We have an Angel Tree program, which is a program that delivers gifts to children around the Christmas season who have parents that are incarcerated. We also deliver a personal note from the parent as well as the gospel during that season. We have in-prison programs where we minister to men and women who are currently incarcerated. And then, as you all just stated, April Second Chance Month. So we have advocacy work that we do across the country. So we work in six target states as well as down in D.C. to really just advocate for a more restorative criminal justice system and working to pave the way for individuals to be able to take advantage of their second chance.
Oh, that is wonderful. You're hearing the voice of Sammy Perez. He is with Prison Fellowship and their grassroots program. And Sammy, let me ask you this, because just taking a look at your history, you spent some time in prison, but yet you overcame your passion. You began to serve others that were impacted by crime and incarceration. And I would just love to hear a little bit about your story and how you received that second chance.
Yeah, so life for me actually started out pretty rough at an early age. I was removed from my mother's care because she was found unfit to take care of me. My father actually left shortly after that, and that sort of set me on this journey of seeking love and acceptance in the wrong places. And I quickly took to the streets and had my first encounter with the police at the age of 8. Mm-hmm. Life continued to sort of spiral out of control. I became a ward of the state at the age of 11 and started to live in group homes. And, you know, I just really had this desire to go home and to live a normal life. And unfortunately for me, there wasn't a place to call home. Mm-hmm. So I ended up actually running away from the group homes. And I'm sure, as you can imagine, as a 15-year-old young boy trying to survive on the streets, life was really challenging. So I ended up turning to a life of crime to kind of meet my daily needs, and became incarcerated as a youth. I was released around the age of 18, and really I had good intentions. I didn't want to continue to live a life of crime. I wanted to be able to, you know, succeed in life and to do well. However, I didn't have a plan. I also didn't have my faith. So shortly after being released from youth prison, I actually was arrested again. And back in 2005, I was sentenced to 11 and a half years for crimes that I committed. While incarcerated is actually where I found my faith in the Lord. I had a cellmate who shared the gospel with me, and I ended up giving my life to Jesus. And, you know, that was really the turning point for me. As, you know, incarceration is extremely challenging, but, you know, being able to find the hope that lies in our Savior and being able to trust in him throughout the remaining time that I was incarcerated was just tremendous. So I was released back in 2011. And this time I actually had my faith. So that's kind of when I started my second chance. I didn't read my first book until around the age of 19, and ended up getting my GED while I was in jail. I didn't graduate from high school, but I knew that education was going to be key to my success. So I started to attend online classes and started to study at Liberty University. And 4 years after being released from incarceration, I actually became the first person in my family to graduate from a four-year college. I went on to pursue a master's degree and started a family back in 2015, and now have four children, and recently became a grandfather. So the Lord has truly blessed me, my life, and my family. And it hasn't been easy in terms of the road of second chances, and I've ran into some challenges and barriers, but we know and believe that through all things, or through Christ, all things are impossible. So still just kind of working today at Prison Fellowship with an opportunity to use my voice and story to advocate for second chances.
Sammy Perez is our guest right now, and he leads Prison Fellowship's grassroots program. And Sammy, thank you again for taking a few moments out here as we're wrapping up the month of April, which is Second Chance Month. So good to have you with us this morning.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Well, Sammy, we like to think of our justice system as being fair, but you have a front row seat, and you have had that because you've been involved in it as well. And now you also work with justice. What are some of the areas that could use some attention?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And when you think about just sort of the process of reentry, or whether that's individuals who are leaving incarceration, whether it's jails or prisons, and reentering society, or even just people who live with a criminal record, because not everyone who has a record has actually experienced incarceration. There's two really significant challenges that I think of, and those are housing and employment. And really, when you think about those two things, they're some of the most basic essentials to human flourishing. You know, when you think about just having a safe place to lay your head at night, and how, you know, if that is disrupted, which oftentimes within the first year of release from incarceration, housing is extremely unstable for individuals. I actually even experienced that myself when I was released. I was living with a family member and was notified within 2 weeks that I had to move, which meant that I had to find a new job. I had to find a new place to live, and I only had 2 weeks to do it. So when you think about that challenge, as well as the challenge of employment, right, individuals who are really looking to leave behind a life of crime and return to our communities and be productive citizens, obtaining employment is a key sort of metric to success. So we also know that it's challenging to get employment with the criminal record. Oftentimes, individuals are just automatically denied because they have been convicted of a criminal charge. And, you know, I've experienced that several times where, you know, I had one employment opportunity that, you know, I met all of the qualifications. I had a great interview. The employer liked me. I liked them. They offered me a position. I accepted the position, only to come and find out that after my background check was run, they weren't able to hire me. So those are two areas that just require a significant amount of attention, whether that is through organizations who are seeking to address that problem at a very practical level by providing housing and helping people obtain employment, as well as addressing these things from a systemic level. So we know that there are over 40 or nearly 44,000 legal barriers to things like employment and housing and education, and even voting. So working to advocate for laws and bills that will help to address these things, Prison Fellowship has been at the forefront of really organizing Christians across the country, because we believe that, you know, as Christians, we're actually called to seek justice, right? To actively seek the well-being of our neighbors. So we actually were successful this past year in the state of Tennessee in passing a probation bill that will be able to help pave the way for individuals who are on probation rather than providing a hindrance to them. So this work is extremely important. There's lots of different ways to really be able to get involved. If there's anyone who's listening that's interested in learning more about prison fellowship or about justice issues, feel free to visit our website at prisonfellowship.org. That is a great place to find tons of resources and ways that you can get connected and really get involved.
That was great. Thank you so much for giving us that perspective and for reminding us that as believers, we are to look for justice in our systems and to work towards that and to remember that we have all been given a second chance.
Yeah. And Sammy, let me ask just one last question, because you laid out a lot of different difficulties facing somebody who's coming out of the system, I could use that term, 44,000 things that are difficulties in just standing between somebody who wants to start fresh and even just get a job or get a place where they can live. Is there anything specifically that we can do just to start opening that particular door, housing and employment? What can be done to get those doors to start to open?
Yeah, I think just in general, so that there's a couple of ways. I would start by saying just for folks to continue to just learn more and educate themselves about the issues that exist, and also to become proximate, right? So there's a statistic that 1 in 3 American adults has a criminal record. That statistic for me rings very true in a lot of the spaces that I find myself in, whether that be in church as I'm ministering in different capacities, or at work, or even in my personal life. I oftentimes find individuals who have been impacted by the system. So I think just becoming proximate to those people and really living life with them, right? Learning about what those specific challenges are, how do they impact an individual's life as well as their families? Because we can't forget that, people don't live in vacuums, right? So there's an extension that these collateral consequences or these legal barriers actually they impact more than just that individual. So I think as believers, just becoming proximate to people who are impacted and then looking for ways that we can actually utilize our voice, right? So Prison Fellowship has a Justice Ambassador Program, which is a program that equips Christians all across the country to be able to utilize their voice and their story to help change the narrative, to actually go and meet with lawmakers and sit down and have conversations about why change at a legislative level is important and how that can really have a tremendous impact on the lives of individuals and ultimately our community. Because at the end of the day, we all stand to benefit when individuals with a criminal record are able to succeed and thrive and be productive citizens.